From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Divine, Ever-Living, Unchanging. The text is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. All human teaching, and indeed all human beings, shall pass away as the grass of the meadow. But we are here assured that the word of the Lord is of a very different character, for it shall endure forever. We have here a divine gospel. For what word can endure forever but that which is spoken by the eternal God? We have here an ever-living gospel, as full of vitality as when it first came from the lips of God, as strong to convince and convert, to regenerate and console, to sustain and sanctify, as ever it was in its first days of wonder-working. We have an unchanging gospel, which is not today green grass and tomorrow dry hay, but always the abiding truth of the immutable Jehovah. Opinions alter, but truth certified by God can no more change than the God who uttered it. Here, then, we have a gospel to rejoice in, a word of the Lord upon which we may lean all our weight. Forever includes life, death, judgment, and eternity. Glory be to God in Christ Jesus for everlasting consolation. Feed on the word today and all the days of thy life. One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is dealing with verses 23 through 31 of chapter 3 in a message called The Elements, Ends, and Effects of the Gospel. In this, as in all his epistles, Paul teaches that salvation is by grace, it is a gift, and it is by blood. These are its indispensable elements. In verses 24 and 25, we find certain marks of the gospel. First of all, it glorifies God, not man. Then it satisfies divine justice, for Christ is set forth as a propitiation, that which puts away God's wrath. Because of this, it magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to continue this message, the elements, ends, and effects of the gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
In John chapter 15, we read of the Jewish persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he quotes the words of the psalmist, and he uses this very same Greek word that's used there in John 15, where he says, they hated me without a cause. That's how it's translated. We would say, to give it its proper terminology, they hated me gratuitously. I had done nothing to deserve it, but they hated me anyway. Theirs was a gratuitous hatred. It was not rooted in anything that I had ever said or done. It was rooted within themselves. Now that is the word that is here used. He justified us gratuitously. Not because of anything that we have either said or done. Not because of anything rooted in us, but because of what is rooted in his own being. He justified us by grace, and then by gift. And I want you to notice this. This salvation has its means not only by grace and gift, but also by blood. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now I must confess that that has caused me quite a lot of pondering. The more I read what the experts say, the more I realize most of them say nothing of what I want them to talk about. Justified through redemption. Is that what it's saying? I don't think so. These two things are connected, and I'm not going to try and work out the theological connection tonight. But what he's saying is we're justified by grace, and that grace always flows in the channel of redemption. Grace always comes through a crucified Savior. Grace always comes through the redemptive blood work, if you want it, of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he poured out his soul unto death. How he died a sacrificial death to pay the ransom unto God. To purchase our souls out of the slavery of sin. By the merits of his own sacrifice. That's how God brings grace to us. Now let me make this clear. The sacrifice of Christ did not make God gracious. The sacrifice of Christ did not take an ungracious God and cause him to become gracious. That would be blasphemy. God is gracious. But as we see as we go on here, there is a great problem. God is holy and we are sinners. We are bound fast in sin. We're under the curse of a sin-hating God. How can a God of grace deal graciously with sinners who offend his holiness? The answer is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the power and the merit of the precious blood of the Lamb. There are people who think very deep thoughts. If you think that a teaspoon is deep, they think very deep thoughts and they imagine that it must be easy for God. It's a small matter for God to forgive man's sin. Let me tell you, my friend, to redeem sinners unto himself was no easy matter for the eternal God. People who think that way don't know God. They don't know anything about the awful holiness of God. They don't know anything about the awful horribleness of human sin. Once these dawn upon the soul, once a man feels God is great and holy, I am vile and filthy, as Wesley put it, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of grace and truth. Once that dawns on the soul, then you will realize it took the sacrifice of the cross to be the channel for the grace of God to reach a guilty sinner such as I. Here are the means of salvation. And isn't it a glorious story with which to go to down and out sinners who can do nothing to save themselves, to say there's grace that abounds, as Bunyan loved to quote, and indeed as he used as the title of his testimony, grace abounding to the chief of sinners. Isn't it good news to go to them and say there's grace aplenty, there's grace abounding, there's grace with all the ability of divine omnipotence behind it to save you unto eternal life? And it's God's free gift. It's not because of anything you've ever thought, said, or done. It's not because of any good or foreseen good. It's because of what's in God. And it comes to us through the merits and the mediation of the sacrifice of Christ. Now, verses 24 and 25 put together will show us the marks of this salvation that's set forth in the gospel. And again, I will simply list them. First, it glorifies God. That's the one thing comes out of this whole portion. It glorifies God. It is God who is seen here taking the initiative. It is God setting forth Jesus Christ. It is God in Christ doing this work. This is a gospel that glorifies God. Let me tell you, any gospel that is big on man and little on God is not the gospel of the Word of God. Any gospel that does not square with the attributes of deity is not the gospel of the Word of God. However many sweet stories it has, how many tear jerkers it has, it doesn't matter unless it is magnifying God. It is not the gospel. You go out of what's called a gospel meeting and you have big ideas about yourself or big ideas about the preacher, but you have no thoughts of the greatness and the glory of God, then there's either something wrong with what the preacher has done or said, or there's something wrong with how you have taken it. The gospel glorifies God. Salvation is of the Lord. He planned it. He purchased it. He applies it. He completes it. I love that passage. If we ever get to it, I'll enjoy it, no doubt. It'll take me about 2 years to get through it. Romans chapter 8. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Some of you thought John Calvin made up the word predestination. No, he didn't. He just happened to believe God. And if you have any trouble with that, you know, look, don't come fighting with me. A fellow asked me the other day, or sent me a very gracious letter to say how much he'd been blessed through the ministry of this pulpit over the internet. And in a sentence, he asked me if I could tell him why I'm a Calvinist. I could write a book on that. It would take me the rest of my life. And I thought, you know, the answer is simply because I believe the Bible. Because I believe the whole Bible. And because I believe the Bible doesn't contradict itself. That's why I am what I believe it. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now those are the links in a chain of God's grace. And you'll notice that's all divine action. Now, that's not to say there's no human action in the whole matter of our salvation. Not in regeneration, not in justification, but in sanctification, yes. There's a whole lot of room where my spirit cooperates with the Holy Spirit, and I am commanded to do this and do that and do the other thing. In the realm of service, there's a whole lot of room for what I am commanded to do, and I'm responsible to do it. But notice the linkage. From eternity to eternity, in the great things that make sure a believer's going to get to heaven, it's all of God. It's all of God. So salvation glorifies God. Salvation justifies, or should I say, satisfies justice. Notice the word in verse 25, whom God set forth to be a propitiation. Someday, one of us, Mr. Braham, Dr. Barrett, or I, will have time to do a proper study in that word. Most modern translations cut it out. They use the word expiation. The excuse is, well, people don't understand propitiation. I would love just to call their bluff and ask you, put up your hand if you know the meaning of the word propitiation. And I guarantee the people who don't put up their hands for knowing the word propitiation would also have to confess they have no idea what expiation is either. There's nothing to do with that. The real reason is that men have arrogantly conceived a notion that it is unworthy to have the doctrine of the wrath of God. Propitiation deals with the putting away of divine wrath. Now, this is what the heart of the gospel is. In chapter 1, we read the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. It's against the Gentiles, it's against the Jews, it's against the world. The wrath of God. It's a terrible thing. It's a real thing. And how do you put away the wrath of God? By the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. We read that God set him forth to be a propitiation. This way of salvation satisfies justice. It puts out the fire of the wrath of God, so that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Then it magnifies Christ. It magnifies Christ. The mark of the gospel of the New Testament is the magnifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, whom God set forth. That's a verb that has caused a lot of questions and a lot of opinions. Some say it means that God ordained him. That's a possible meaning, and it's true. God did ordain him. Some say it means God purposed. And if you look at the other two occurrences of this particular word in the New Testament, you'll find that's the meaning there. Yes, God purposed. But you see, I think here it's not talking about the purposing to send Christ. It's talking about revealing him. It's talking about publicly declaring him. And I think our translators have got it right. God has set him forth. God is revealing him to you. He's displaying him to you as the propitiation. Men want to look on the Lord Jesus as a philosopher. They want to look on the Lord Jesus as a great teacher. They want to look on the Lord Jesus as a wonderful moral leader and even as a religious reformer. But the Father says, look, I am displaying him to you as a sacrifice of propitiation. Magnify Christ and his blood atonement. If you're ever going to be a preacher, young man, make sure you preach Christ. That's what Spurgeon said when they were opening the Metropolitan Tabernacle. I propose that the grand subject of the preaching from this pulpit will be Jesus Christ. Oh, I would to God that every Baptist in the world was doing that today. I would to God that every Presbyterian was doing it. I would to God that we'd get away from all the tomfoolery of man-made subjects and just preach Christ. That's the need.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.